Welcome to episode 134 of the Bobbycast, and since this is a music-based Bobbycast, I brought in somebody who also loves music, producer Eddie.
Yeah! Second time being on the Bobbycast.
Yeah, this is not about you, though.
Oh, I do have one dedicated just to me.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, search that. It's really fascinating.
Rude.
Nah, I'm playing. What we're talking about here are the inspirations behind the names of bands.
Oh, that's cool. Where? I don't know if I know a lot of these.
Well, okay, so your favorite band of all time.
Pearl Jam.
Do you know why they are named Pearl Jam?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I do.
Go ahead.
Eddie Vedder claimed that his grandma Pearl made a homemade jam, and so they decided to name the band Pearl Jam because of that.
Okay, that is one of the theories.
Now, yes, they are theories.
Here's the official. The band has never given a definitive answer on a band name. They have floated a couple suggestions. It was either based on the famous peyote jam made by Eddie Vedder's great-grandmother, Pearl.
Pearl, boom.
That's right. Or what I've heard that it comes from the nickname of NBA star Mookie Blaylock.
Well, that's 10, because his number was 10, and their first album was 10. And so they for sure named their first album 10 after Mookie Blaylock. He played for the Supersonics.
So that's Pearl Jam.
Yeah, dude. Now, see, Pearl Jam trivia, I know.
Okay, what about the Beatles?
Oh.
Now think about that one for a second. The Beatles. You know, the Beatles is spelled B-E-A-T.
I love that.
Not like a bug beetle, but like the beat.
Right.
Oles.
Like keeping it on beat.
Do you know why that is?
I don't know this story.
So Buddy Holly had a band, and their name was the Crickets.
Correct.
So Buddy Holly had Buddy Holly and the Crickets, and so they were inspired by that. All four of the Beatles were big fans. Their earliest shows often featured his music. Later on, too, Paul McCartney later bought the rights to Buddy Holly songs when he was rich and he could.
Wow.
But the Beatles, the bug, the beetle, is because of the Crickets. They just changed the beat to the beat. Boom, boom, boom.
That's crazy. I didn't know that
the
story.
Beat. Yeah. How about that? I got a whole bunch of them here. Is this interesting to you?
I love it. I love it. Yes.
What do you know about Lady Antebellum as a group?
Just that there's three of them.
You know how they got together?
Mm-mm.
So they got on their MySpace page, and they kind of met on MySpace. I think two of them were friends.
How long ago was this?
Well, not last year.
Yeah, well, MySpace, I mean, it had to have been more than 10 years ago.
Yeah,
okay, so they met on MySpace.
So I think Charles and Dave were friends already, and apparently Hillary was like, hey, I know you from MySpace. And so they started their own MySpace page, and they needed to take a band picture. So they used a Civil War Southern mansion for a scenic backdrop. And there were tons of those Antebellum homes.
Oh.
You know what? I don't even know what Antebellum home is, dude.
It's a style. Yeah, like, you know, there's like a Renaissance style home. Southern
like
style.
Like Gone with the Wind?
Yeah, it's like that. Exactly.
They thought it was a cool word, and then they just put Lady in front of it. Because Hillary was kind of the lead singer.
That's so, like, just generic. That's kind of like, yeah, it's just, it happened to be our name.
I'm looking at an Antebellum house. A lot of pillars.
So, like, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you one. You'll for sure get this one. How about the group Alabama?
Oh, I got it.
Go ahead.
Because they're all from Alabama.
There you go. Yeah, they were originally formed under the name Wild Country. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
They toured the Southeast Bar Circuit in the 1970s. When do you say and so they were all from near Fort Payne, Alabama. They were the house band at a Myrtle Beach, South Carolina honky-tonk called the Bowery. And so they were informally known as the Alabama Band, like that Alabama Band, because they were all from Alabama, and it turned into just Alabama.
Dude, I'm such a nerd. I love hearing these stories.
Oh, do you?
Like, I like thinking about, you know, all the names that they had, because in a band, when you're in a band, you think that it's so important. We got to have a good name. And like, look, they went through all these names when they were playing in clubs, and they ended up with just, hey, we're from Alabama.
That Alabama Band. Just call us Alabama.
I love Sing it. Song of the South.
Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone with the wind. Yeah, that's it. Let me talk about Dollar Shave Club for a second. If you ever shower or brush your teeth or try to make your hair look presentable, you know, the normal things, I've got good news for you. Dollar Shave Club has a lot of stuff to help you out. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to get ready in the bathroom. If you go into my bathroom, it's pretty much like a Dollar Shave Club museum. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything that you need to look, feel, smell your best.
I love the shampoo. I'm a big fan of their calming body cleanser. It smells good. All of Dollar Shave Club's products are made with top shelf ingredients that won't break your budget. You'll feel the difference. Plus, shipping is included with your membership. And here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essentials Starter Set. It comes with body cleanser, one wipe Charlie's, the world famous shave butter, and their best razor, the 6-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month and add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else right there for your bathroom. Check it out, dollarshaveclub.com/bones. dollarshaveclub.com/bones. Talking about bands, I guess I really didn't think a lot about where bands come from, like their names.
No.
Because I have a bunch of bands. I never even considered where the Foo Fighters name came from. I know.
You do know it?
Well, I know about the UFOs.
I don't know anything about it, so tell me.
So the Foo Fighters, which, by the way, started as just Dave Grohl. It's a project he did all by himself. His first record he did all by himself. All instruments, all vocals, all everything.
Did this start after Nirvana ended?
Sort of. No. He started doing it while Nirvana was together.
Okay.
But then fully embraced it. From what I know, after Kurt Cobain died, mm-hmm. it was a thing more so. And think about that. You're the drummer of a band, and all of a sudden, you make it. I'm going to say, I don't know, maybe you can talk me out of this, the biggest current American rock star?
Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl right now? Yes. For rock and roll? Yes. The rock genre? Like, what is the rock genre?
Imagine Dragons, Killers. And they're not as big as Dave Grohl is. But
I couldn't even tell you the lead singer's name, Imagine Dragons. Dave Grohl is the biggest rock star right now.
So the group, the Foo Fighters, got its name from UFOs and aerial phenomena that were reported by Allied aircraft pilots in World War II, known as Foo Fighters. They were out fighting Foo, literally.
Really?
Yeah. Dave Grohl says he regrets naming that band now. He said, had I actually considered this to be a career, I would have called it something else because it's the stupidest band name in the world.
I love it.
That's interesting, huh?
Yes. I remember watching a clip with David. They were on David Letterman, and the way he introduced him was like, now this band is really good at fighting Foo.
Here they are.
Dude, hilarious. Here they are, the Foo Fighters.
I do believe that the Foo Fighters, just going from memory here, I believe the Foo Fighters played the last Letterman show, and I think they might have played Hero.
Wow.
I think they did Everlong.
Oh, did Everlong?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe they played a couple nights in a row, like the last couple of nights on Letterman.
That last month of Letterman was amazing. Because
it was a lot, too.
Pearl Jam even came out.
Pearl Jam did, too. Yep. I think Norm MacDonald was on one of the final ones, and Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I think Bill Murray was the final guest, right? Because I think he was David Letterman's first ever guest and maybe the final guest.
He went out with a bang.
I'm just going. But he's back. He's on Netflix.
Yeah, I know. I haven't watched that.
They're good.
Is it good?
They're not that funny. It's an interview show.
So he's not trying to be funny.
Yeah, he's just Dave Letterman. They shoot for like 3 hours and they put about an hour of the interview up.
Okay.
I enjoyed the ones of the people I already liked. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I thought the George Clooney one was pretty good because it showed him to be more than just a good-looking movie star, but there's some editing. I thought the
and he does them live, like in a theater.
In the theater, yeah, he sits with them.
Is it full beard?
Yeah, like he did with Howard Stern. That I thought was good. But I'm a Howard Stern fan.
I'll check that out. One more question about Foo Fighters, that if you know, Taylor Hawkins,
mm-hmm, the drummer.
So what? How did he? Was he kind of like, because he's the other member of the band that everyone kind of knows, the blonde drummer. So like, I feel like he's kind of a partner in the band. Is he? Or is he just another member?
He is a partner, very much a partner in the band, but not the leader of the band.
Yeah, that would be Dave.
Meaning, I would compare the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl to me in this show. Now, and Amy would be Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Like, Amy's right there with me in all the decisions, and sometimes I have to go make decisions without her. And mm-hmm. I'm just but I would compare that.
And that'd be Pat Smear.
And then Pat Smear was also in Nirvana.
Yes,
Pat Smear was the fourth member of Nirvana,
a hidden member.
Yeah,
because he was never showcased.
Not till the end.
Yeah,
a bit at the end he played with them. And I think he played on Nirvana Unplugged, but he was in some of the promo stuff. But did you know Nirvana went to, I think, 6 drummers?
Really? Before Dave?
Yeah, wow. And maybe he was the 6th, but. Now you're talking.
And then Pearl Jam, too. They've had like 10 drummers their whole career.
You know, I think that drummers are the most disposable. You're in the back.
Yeah.
And again, like when we play music, you a bit more so than me, but we both play music.
Yeah.
We can't even really tell the difference in drummers if you're watching a live show.
No. No, you're right. It's hard. I mean, they keep a beat, and you're right. They're in the background.
And there's
but they're really important to the band.
Absolutely. There's something special about it. But if you just that's why people like Billy Corgan, he's back with the, I think the guitar player now, Smashing Pumpkins. But he just went and did Smashing Pumpkins by himself. Yeah. And no one really cared, really.
Well, see, when that happens, I always feel like, okay, he's hard to work with. Because obviously he's.
But you know my theory.
Yes, all artists are crazy.
All artists are crazy, but if you're creating great art, that you've got to be nutty to be able to think of something different. So you're not just nutty in one capacity of your life.
Yeah.
You're nutty in a lot of places. So the crazier the artist, the crazier the human. It's rare you're going to find somebody that's creating something so different, and then they're so the same in the normal world.
Yeah. And I always feel like bands break up because artists and band members, like musicians, are so chill and like just laid back. I just feel like that's just most of their personalities. Don't really care too much about anything. But the front man is always such a, like you say, head case and always wants it their way.
Well, it's a type A personality, yeah. And someone has to lead. Look at the show. Who's the biggest head case on the show?
You.
It's me, by far.
100%.
But I'm a head case in all the ways. Like, I'm extremely driven, but I'm also nutty. I'm hard to work with sometimes. So it's just, nobody comes in and goes, I'm wildly creative. But when I go home at night, I'm just going to chill with the kids and be cool and totally normal. Like you live in that world, whatever world you're in.
I always just feel for the band members, you know, like whenever
they know what they're getting into. And also you got to think about bands that start early. It's like your friends in high school. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're 18, 19, 21. You're not friends with your friends from college or high school now. You've grown into different places. Imagine you're doing that in life.
Yeah, I get that.
Probably start to feel invincible a bit because you're famous. You're like, I could probably do this without them.
See, I wonder how like U2 does that because, I mean, they've known each other since high school.
They've stayed together. But there are some people, like Lunchbox, who stay with their high school friends the whole time.
Yeah.
So U2.
That's good comparison.
The Rolling Stones. And even they broke off and did stuff, and they just weren't as successful. You know, Mick Jagger had a solo career, and it did fine.
Yeah.
But get Stones back together. It's all the guys.
That's right. Interesting. I love the stuff.
What stuff?
Just the stuff we're talking about.
Rascal Flatts.
Are they from like someplace called Flats?
Well, they're from Ohio.
So Flats, Ohio?
The Rascally Flats, Ohio. I did a Bobby cast with Kimberly Schlattman. No, it was Karen Fairchild. Yeah, because Karen Fairchild was talking about how Joe Don was almost in Little Big
Town. Right, that's right.
And Joe Don's in Rascal Flatts. And Joe Don was almost in Little Big Town because they all played together all the time. And so Little Big Town hadn't quite decided what they were yet. And Gary LaVox and Jay and Joe Don, who was in Rascal Flatts, I do finger quotes there, he was like, you got to go do this. It's awesome. So Joe Don, they went off and did Rascal Flatts.
And that was Phillip's spot, right? He was going to play Phillip's spot.
Sort of. I think there were the two girls and him, Joe Don. But I don't think that Phillip or Jimmy was in yet, really.
Oh, okay.
Now, again, revisionist history. I don't know. I wasn't around
playing
the bars back then.
And just think, you go back, if any of that stuff would have changed, like we wouldn't have the bands that we have today.
Or we'd have way better bands. Or who knows?
Just different.
Yeah, maybe bands don't get inspired. There's so many.
All sorts of stuff.
So what hurts the most, that's that song. A friend of theirs named Jelly Roll talked to them after a show and said that he had played in a garage band in the 60s called Rascal Flatts, and he thought the name would fit for them.
Their buddy's name was Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll Morton?
He wrote it down on a bar napkin and then gave them permission to use it. They told the story during our flashback interview here on the show.
Hey, if your buddy named your band and he gives you, like, you know, on a restaurant napkin permission, like, that's it, right? You can't go back and...
It's basically a contract.
Like, Jelly Roll can't be like, hey, come on, man, pay me. Like, I named your band. You're making millions
you
now.
You can. It's going to be hard to win that, but you can. If you prove that you were the creator of something, I'll give our band as an example. Like, I have things from when I was 14 being the Raging Idiots in, like, school.
Prove it.
I have, like, videos of whatever generation of that band that was. And then, you know, I got into college, and then... If you can kind of prove that it was a thing in any capacity, or if you can prove that he signed it over to you, even on a napkin. But then I'd be like, that's not my handwriting.
Exactly.
But
oh, Jelly Roll.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. Sweet home, back when they were attending Robert E. Lee High School, vocalist Ronnie Van Zant and the guitarist They had a gym teacher named Leonard Skinner.
Oh, wow.
Who was really against boys having long hair.
Love it.
So Van Zant decided to poke fun at Skinner's uptight attitude by naming his band Leonard Skinnered and then dropping out of school because he kept being told, hey, cut your hair.
Yeah. Man, Van Zant was just all about throwing people under the bus, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to get Leonard on this one.
Leonard Skinner was the teacher's name. Leonard Skinner.
That's great. That's a
Leonard Skinnered.
That's a good that's a good way to get someone back. You don't like guys with long hair? Well, here we go.
We'll name a band after you, mother.
Take that, Leonard.
A couple more here. How about the Dixie Chicks?
Hmm.
I knew this one.
That just sounds like they sat around and they're like, all right, we're chicks from Dixie. We're the Dixie Chicks.
You think it's that easy?
No, it wasn't.
So they're all Texans.
Yes.
And so they got their name from the song Dixie Chicken.
Oh, yeah. That's a, I can be your Dixie Chicken, you can be my Dixieland.
Little Feet.
Is that Little Feet?
Yeah, the rock band Little Feet.
Well, I guess I know it from Garth Brooks.
Dixie refers to 11 states, including Texas, which seceded the Union during the Civil War. And, yeah, so there you go. And by
Dixie
the way,
Chicks.
Natalie wasn't the lead singer at first, I don't think, right?
Really?
Was she came in later? I believe that's the thing. And so, yeah, Natalie took over the lead vocals, and then somebody was talking on a Bobbycast about how the Dixie Chicks came to town, and it was like, new ball game. Who was it, Mike D? Because they were in recently, and they were like, yeah, Dixie Chicks came. And
like just dominated?
No, but it was like a whole new sound, and some people hated it.
Yeah.
Because they were so new and different.
Lived in Texas, I'd go see her dad, Lloyd Maines. He was it's like a bluegrass kind of folksy musician that lives down in San Marcos, Texas. Dude, I would just geek out because I'd always be like, that's Natalie's dad, it's Natalie's dad, and he's just so talented.
I would see there's Natalie.
Emily
and Robson, then,
and then the other one. Let's look it up. We got computers. Marty. Is she the fiddle player?
I would see one of them at a bar in Austin all the time. And I thought it was super cool. And it was kind of post the Dixie Chicks being in their heyday.
Yeah.
But of the other two, I don't remember which one it was.
Well, two were sisters, right?
Yeah.
Marty and Emily were sisters.
And then they turned into a group because then they got into the big, they all broke up. And
Natalie
they were in another group like called the Greyhounds or something. I don't remember.
Oh, that's right. You're so, Greyhounds. That's right.
Is that the name of that group? The Greyhounds?
Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah. It was something like that. I think we're just going off of memory here.
They were an original bluegrass group, and I don't think Natalie was in the bluegrass group, and then they found Natalie Maines. Again, you could fact check me on this stuff, and I don't care.
Yeah, but dude, yeah, Dixie Chicks were, man, I was young when they got big and their success happened, so I don't really remember. I wasn't around like Austin or Texas when that was happening, but when they would come back to Texas, it was a big deal. Like when they come back to Austin and play, like it was a huge, huge deal.
They were so massive that I think it was a big deal. Listen, it's a home show, absolutely.
Yeah.
They were massive.
But you're right. I mean, dude, how do you get that big? Like they were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing. And then it was over.
Then it was over. Yeah. Let me talk about Bombas for a second. How often do you think about your socks? Well, if you're like I used to be, not that much, but if you're like me now, when I put on Bombas, I love them. These socks have changed the way that I wear socks because they are so comfortable. Bombas. And you'll go, what's up with socks? They're all the same. Yeah, you think that until you put Bombas on. They stay warm in the winter, cool in the summer. Every pair come with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, stay-up technology with many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles. Bombas look great in the gym, at the office, or out on the town. Bombas are what feet daydream about, and for every purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. So keep cool, keep comfortable, keep contributing with the best socks in the history of feet. Bombas. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/bones and get 20% off your first purchase. BOMBAS.com/bones. Bombas.com/bones. Got to put in the /bones to get 20% off of your first purchase. And it's a great gift for someone too. I wouldn't lie to you. They really are super comfortable. There you go. Bombas.com/bones. Journey. Maybe you'll know this song from Journey. Don't stop. Have you heard that one before?
Don't stop.
They came together in 1973. They did not have a name. They held a radio contest to come up with a real name. And then they...
Somebody named them?
And then the results were terrible. They gave up and said, we're not
doing this.
And then a roadie was like, well, just call yourself Journey. You're on a journey?
They're all sitting around
and
with a joint.
And they were like, yeah.
Dude, just call yourself Journey. Think about it, dude. Look at our life right now.
How do we not think about that?
It's a journey.
We're right in the middle of it, and we're not even in it.
So, dude, that's crazy.
And now they have that other lead singer.
Yeah.
But by the way, when I was taping American Idol, the finale, I think I told the story.
Oh, you did. Who did you meet?
Well, this old guy comes in the room. I know he was. And he was like, hey, you that famous radio guy? And no one ever calls me the famous radio guy. And I go, Mike D, you're there, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh, how about that? He shook my hand and walked out. And it was Steve Perry. The lead singer, old lead singer of Journey, that guy.
The original guy.
But he thought I was Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I do remember this story. That's crazy. He walks in thinking you're Seacrest.
It's crazy. I didn't even know who it was, though. Until I was watching the playback on Idol, because I was about to go on and do my thing and talk in the finale. And I see one of the contestants, I think Gabby was her name, singing with Steve Perry. And I was like, that's the old guy that was just in the room.
Weird.
I didn't even put it all together. Because, you know, you don't see pictures of him old. They didn't even sing with Journey anymore.
No, I don't even know what he looked like young.
Probably a lot of hair.
Does he still have long hair?
No.
Not short hair. So that kind of threw you off, I'm sure.
No, all of it threw me off. I wouldn't have known anyway. Well, there you have it.
Why isn't he with the band anymore?
Who knows? But why don't, not the same, but why don't Jimmy Page and Robert Plant play together anymore?
Yeah.
Well, because...
They don't like each other anymore?
I don't think Robert Plant wants to play the Led Zeppelin songs. Like, I think he's like, we've already done that. And John Bonham's dead, the drummer of Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do? Only partially get together and then do things that we used to do? You know, he did a whole record with, who did he do the record?
Who?
The Americana record.
Who, Robert Plant?
Uh-huh.
Oh, with his girlfriend, with Patty Griffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were dating at the time. I don't know if they're still together
anymore.
They're not.
Right? They're not. But people used to see him all over Austin.
I did.
You saw him
too?
Dude,
I saw him at Whole Foods one time and freaked out.
And he was just chilling by himself?
Yeah, he was shopping at Whole Foods, had his long hair still. I mean, he just looks like a lion. You know, his hair is really big still. And he's tall. He's really tall. And I'm like, dude, that's Robert freaking Plant. And I didn't talk to him or anything. I just looked at him for like 10 seconds. And it was just amazing. Because, I mean, I've never been a huge Zeppelin fan. Like, never.
I have been.
Like, my cousins used to listen to that stuff, and my brother did. But
I was.
I'm more of a fan now than I was, you know, younger.
I feel like there are a couple artists that I look back at and go, oh, if they came out with the same kind of sound now.
Oh, for sure.
They would still be big. And it's tough because instruments change, the way we use instruments. But the Led Zeppelin, I think if they came out now, it would still... work.
Bands still try to sound like this.
It would still work. Yeah. And so.
Listen to that.
Like, I would listen to this on the classic rock station, and then what I would do is buy 8 CDs for a nickel.
Oh, yeah. Columbia House.
And I would get all those. I get Led Zeppelin 2. I get all the. And
just you never knew you had to pay for those later.
I'll
listen to that.
On this song here, John Bonham, the drummer, was playing a different song. He was just frustrated. He was playing a different song.
Really?
And they wrote this kind of on the spot. They just came up with a lick and started playing together, jamming it. I went down the whole of like looking up all the stories and the songs. There are a few artists, if I go, okay, I think that sound would still work. Led Zeppelin's one. The biggest one is this one. Where I think if they existed today.
What genre?
And they just.
Classic rock?
Yeah. If they started today and they were, you know, 21 years old, 19 years old.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Rolling Stones.
No. I don't. Maybe, but I don't know. Because they were really good, but they weren't super different.
Okay. Give me a hint.
And people were actually able to. And they were different. But let me say this. And again, I wasn't alive during the Stones, so I'm just going from reading history. and watching. I think people were able to mimic the Stones pretty easily too and copy what the Stones kind of started.
I'm thinking like an oldies, like a 60s.
Yeah.
Beach Boys? No, because that's too time stamped. It's not Beatles. What is it? Oh yeah.
Queen.
Yeah.
If the new Freddie Mercury movie is coming out too.
I know, I can't wait to see that.
People have tried to emulate Queen.
Oh, you gonna take me home tonight.
You can't even redo them.
Nope.
He was such a great singer, so great on the stage. Remember when Steven Tyler came in and was talking about touring with, you remember that?
Yeah, with Queen.
He was like, he was so messed up, he barely remembers it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he used to, because again, Aerosmith was in the late 60s when they started. Yeah, Queen. And then there's one other one who I think, again, all things equal, and it's tough because sounds evolve. I think that if Notorious B.I.G. were new now,
he'd hang with all these guys.
I don't think Tupac would. I think Tupac was culturally bigger, but I don't think that. Again, here I am talking about rap.
No, I like it.
But I don't think Tupac's sound would translate as well as.
When you say sound, hip hop sound, are you talking about sampling, like the beats that they're using, or
more
the way they're rapping?
More of a cadence of how they rap, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would think.
Okay.
I think, yeah, what Notorious B.I.G. did, he rapped like anybody else. Period.
You're right. You play that right now, and it sounds like something we can take play that, on the take top that. 40 station.
Oh. So, yeah. Oh. Anybody you think that would still?
I think you nailed the ones that I would even think about. But I think what's amazing to me, though, is like bands like Aerosmith that were able to, because you brought up Aerosmith, but they were able to just change their style with the times.
Yeah. From.
Because you listen to Slow Ride? Not Slow Ride. What song am I thinking of? Is there one of their first songs? Dream On. You think about Dream On, and then you hear, you know, Living on the Edge. They sound like two different bands.
Yeah, it does sound like a 70s awesome song. And then Janie's Got a Gun feels like an 80s awesome song.
Yes, and then you can go to 90s.
Then Don't Miss a Thing. That's actually their first number one was Don't Miss a Thing.
Dude, that is so impressive to me. Train does that now.
But you can't compare it.
Well, I'm not comparing Train, but I'm saying bands that are able to do that. Rolling Stones were able to do that.
Okay, I'm going to, on the Train, because we talked about this, I think, off the air, maybe on the air. They have been able to sound relevant through many.
Yes.
It's hard to go Train equals Aerosmith, because Aerosmith, late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even early 2000s.
Yeah.
Train maybe hasn't had the body of work. And they.
Because I wasn't comparing them. I'm just saying they were able to transform their music to whatever was playing on the radio at that time.
Like, see what year Meet Virginia came out. If I were guessing, I would say 97 or 98.
Okay, I'd go 97. She doesn't know
the drill. Yeah.
And that's what I was listening to, you know, in high school. But then you have my 10-year-old right now.
99.
Oh, we were off.
Wow.
But then you have my 10-year-old listening to, you know, Hey Soul Sister and like the stuff that he's doing right now.
But this is even old. This is 10 years old.
I know, but listen to it.
But I was going to go to even
the newer
stuff. Like, play that song, one from the last couple years. And I heard this on the radio and I was like, well, who is this? This sounds kind of cool.
It's Train.
Play that song. The one that makes me go all night long. The one that makes me
Huh?
And I don't know if a lot of artists or most artists just feel like, nah, man, that's not me. I'm not going to change with the times or whatever. But these guys are just so good at that.
I give you another one that's even more, that's newer, is Maroon 5.
Another one.
Yeah, they've been able to switch it up because you go from, I remember when Harder to Breathe came out.
Oh, Maroon 5.
Because it's getting harder and harder to breathe. And this was such a jam. And this was
Dare
you
say
that mommy hit is unacceptable. You know, they were
a rock band.
A straight ahead rock band. Yes. Adam Levine grew up a really, really rich kid, too. You ever look at him?
No.
Yeah. So, you have that. And then to something like, let's try Maps. I miss the taste of sweet love. This is a little later.
Yeah. I miss
the conversation. What's their song now? First of all, didn't they have like...
Oh, yeah. That Moves Like Jagger.
You're talking about 10 years in between them. But
that's so different.
Even Sugar, you get some of that dance, mm-hmm. you know?
No, they're a pop band now.
Yeah. Their new song, which I don't even know what it is pretty dancey.
Is it Girls Like You?
What's it, what
yeah,
is it?
Girls Like You.
Girls Like You. You're here on the pop station sometime. Let me see what we got here. Begging, I'm on my knees. I'm gonna be needing your love. It's gonna be deep in your love. Oh, yeah, here you go. Mm-hmm. Spent 24 hours on emotion. It's like a DJ dance.
It's crazy, man.
I mean, there's something to say for someone who can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look at that.
And even in country, like the fact how I think about it all the time with Darius Rucker, like saying, oh, my career's over. You know, I'm not, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish, blah, blah, whatever. Most people would be like, whatever, start selling cars. No, he was like, no, I'm gonna do my country thing now. And look at him. He's so successful. He's huge. And he puts out great music. Still.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for someone who can fit all formats.
Dude, I mean, that's just a musical person. Oh, that's I see right. what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
What's up?
Yeah. I got you.
What's up?
I know a dude like that.
Well, what's your name?
Ah, dude, he wears dark rimmed glasses. Oh. Yeah, he's a. Oh. He writes books.
I don't know about that.
Tells jokes.
What you know about that? It's a fun little music podcast here, huh?
Oh, we're done?
It's been a half hour.
You want to talk about anything else?
I don't think so.
Oh, I got one more thing real quick
I
was thinking about earlier this week. Paul McCartney. I finally sat down to watch his carpool karaoke with...
Did you want to cry?
Yes, yeah. Dude. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable.
And you don't think you will want to cry because you're like, I've seen all the crap.
No, and James Corden's so good to just kind of roll with it and get stuff out of him. And I thought to myself, like, the Beatles were a thing for 5 years. They made music for five years. I don't think people realize that. And then they were done. And then whatever each member wanted to do, that's what they did. But Paul McCartney can't walk on the streets without somebody wanting to take a picture with him or 500 people wanting to take a picture with him. How does someone like that, with just 5 years of music, still that famous today?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, they made some great music that was way different than everyone else. It was so different. It also started a complete sound. You know, the British Invasion were all...
Sure.
I mean, the Rolling Stones only got to come over really because the Beatles did. Right?
Yep.
And so I think a lot of bands have been influenced by the Beatles, which kept the Beatles going. And people go, oh, let me go check out the older music. Yeah. Like, look at us. We never heard the Beatles new.
We
were just told how good they were.
Right.
I think word of mouth has been a big... someone generation to generation going, this was my favorite. You should listen to it. And it's still good, you know? I also think that... But if John Lennon was alive, I think he'd have the same problem.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to walk around.
Does Ringo have the same problem?
Also, to go Paul McCartney, Wings was a big deal.
Yeah, but I mean, not really.
No, not as big as... Nothing is as big as the Beatles. Nothing is. But that's,
Wings is just like a regular band that had about four or five hits.
But you're talking about hits at a time where there just weren't many hits. Like Paul McCartney and Wings. I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying it did keep him in the eyeballs.
Okay.
And then he was the lead singer-ish... The most famous group ever.
Yeah, him and John.
When television was really... You have to look at that, too. The media, that television was just getting to be a thing where people went on to TV shows. Right time, right artist, new.
Yeah.
It really could have been...
I mean, I guess if Elvis was still alive, he'd probably be the same.
For sure. New.
Yeah.
I mean, the Beatles didn't really steal their sound from someone like Elvis did.
Right.
You know, Elvis just ripped it off.
Not that it was completely Elvis's fault, but...
Yeah. I think Elvis just sang what he knew.
Yeah.
But I think... I mean, listen, Paul McCartney is probably the most famous living rock star.
Yes. Well, and it just... To me, it's just like, we'll never see that. Like, that... It blows my mind that someone that old... I mean, dude, he's, what, in his 70s?
Yeah. But look at the Beatles. Even their songs sound different. From their different records. Like, they experimented right.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times. Like, it worked.
Yeah. All their albums sounded different.
Like, you go to the old stuff, which, like, I Want to Hold Your Hand, you
mm-hmm.
know? Just straight ahead, you know, four guys in their little suits.
Yeah, it's like doo-wop. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, then you get all the horns and your
strings, totally different sound.
They kind of led music where to go.
Could they still hang today? I mean, people still do try to sound like the Beatles. I mean, for sure, musically.
I think those two songwriters could.
What, John Lennon and Paul McCartney? Yeah. Oh, I do like it when Paul McCartney does stuff with like Rihanna and like Kanye, whatever.
I don't hear their sound and go, oh, if this played on the radio today, it would still sound relevant. Yeah. Now, again, you're recording with older machines and older instruments. I don't hear that and go, this would still fit in like I do some of the older, like the Zeppelin and Queen.
Yeah.
But I think those two wrote amazing songs. And so I think yes, because they probably would be able to write all the hits. They'd probably come to Nashville and just write. They'd be like the dominate. Ashley Gorleys and Shane McAnally's. We're Step moving aside, here, guys. Boys. We're going to do all the songs this year.
This one written by Lennon McCartney. Yeah. It's Eric Church.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Okay.
All right, that's all I had.
Enough of
thought that was interesting.
Ridiculous opinions, and we're probably wrong on about 18% of that stuff.
Nah, maybe 25.
Okay, or more. So there's that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Eddie, for being a guest.
Thanks for having me on, man. That was fun.
What episode is this? 33. Paul McCartney, 76 years old.
76.
It's episode 133. Thanks for listening to the Bobbycast. Tell your friends, subscribe. If you don't mind, rate us 5 stars. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time, everybody.